everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. Today's episode of the CF Podcast is brought to you by our friends at Heartland Flags. Christmas season obviously is over, but that does not mean that, you know, there's always something that you can pick up for anybody in your life at Heartland Flags. They have, you know, all the Iowa State flags that you could need. Got the Liberty Bowl obviously coming up on Saturday, and you gotta show your pride even when there's snow on the ground and the weather is kind of crappy. So get on down to Heartland Flags, check them out online, heartlandflags.com. You can click the banner ad at the top of cyclonefanatic.com as well, and pick up any of your flag needs. All right, Jared Stansbury, I'm here with Chris Williams, Rob Gray. We're riding in the car on our way down to Memphis, and C-Dub says, let's do a road trip mailbag. So I put out a call for questions on Twitter. Took you guys forever to come through with some freaking questions, but I think you guys did a pretty good job of coming up with some. First of all, guys, what's up? Are we enjoying the trip so far?
The McDonald's in Oskaloosa was lovely.
Except for the rock hard hash browns.
I enjoyed my sausage McMuffin thoroughly, so I'm doing well.
The egg McMuffin, the standard, the classic, went down nice. I'm not usually a McDonald's patron, but I'm a fan of the regular McMuffin.
It all went down nice. So it'll be interesting, Rob, to see how it comes out.
Yeah, and we'll all find out in our palatial lodgings in Memphis.
Does McDonald's have cage-free eggs, or are they just normal
eggs? Probably not, but I believe that they were making a move toward that. I think that's one thing that people are angry about, McDonald's trying to make some of their food a little bit healthier. So
why would that make people angry?
I don't know why. I think some, like when they did the fries stuff, changing the oil, people don't like the fries as much. I don't think that actually made it healthier, though. I think that's based on faulty science, but
podcast recommendation for everybody on their way down to Memphis. Malcolm Gladwell actually did a really good podcast about the why they changed the way McDonald's made their fries. So we're already off on a track that I definitely didn't see us going down.
I think we need to clarify that this is going to be, if you're tuning in for like hardcore Cyclone stuff, you're going to have a lot of that the next few days with our coverage in Memphis. And I have no idea what these questions are going to be, but I can't imagine it's real, like, I mean.
Yeah, let's break down Memphis's passing offense.
Yeah, I don't think that it's going to be much of that.
It will definitely not. All right, well, since I started the podcast, we've gotten a handful more questions, so we'll see where this takes us. First off, Michael on Twitter, at ExplodedLemon, wants to know, what kind of gas mileage are we getting? What do we got here?
Give me a second.
Is it 23 and change or something?
Let me see here. Hold on. 24.
Oh, nice.
24 miles to the gallon right now. This bad boy. We just passed Ottumwa. We're in a Jeep Renegade. Was the rental. So yeah, that's what we got going on. Feels good though.
We have 12 miles, by the way, before we.
Yeah, make sure you let
headed,
me know when
headed south. Yeah. All right, so that's the first one. Aaron Marner, good friend of the program. Aaron Marner, over under 1,200 career points for Lindell Wigginton at Iowa State.
Well, what's like? I need more perspective. Like, who has like 1,200 points? Where is that in comparison to who?
I don't have the Iowa State record books memorized.
Number,
if he plays three seasons, I would say that he would very well be within the realm of possibility.
Then I'll take the under then, though, because I think he'll be here 2 years.
I think I'll share that with you as well, CW. I don't see him being there 3 years, and that's a good thing for Iowa State because of how good he's going to be, how prolific a scorer and just all-around player he's going to be.
Yeah, I think, and sorry, Jared.
No, you're good.
I'm anxious to see Lindell in the Big 12 season because I actually can see him being better.
I mean, if we think about this, he's averaging like 16 points a game right now. So if they played 30 games and he averaged 16 a game, I'm not very good at math. What's that? It's like almost 500, right?
It's 400 plus.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I'd have to say the under. He'd have to have a monster sophomore season to get even close to that in the just 2 years.
The real question there is, is the over under on 2.5 for how many years he'll be at Iowa State. That's the real question that I think Aaron's trying to ask. And I'd take the under.
Yeah. Chad Blankenship replied to Aaron's question, said that's an easy over. I would have to disagree.
Obviously, if he stays a certain period of time, well, beyond what we believe he will, because of, again, all the good things that will be on the horizon for him.
Gino wants to know if there's any chance there's a viewing party for the basketball game while in Memphis. Yes, that is something that we're working on, correct?
Yeah. I'm just trying to figure out where. We're going to have something. I know the Alumni Association's doing something, too. But we're going to have something, and you know how ours tend to get.
Yeah.
So I just stay tuned for that. I'm hoping it's 11 o'clock on Tuesday right now. I'm hoping I can announce something tonight. And if not tonight, it'll be early tomorrow.
I want to know how Naz and Monte learned G League offense and NBA team's offense when called up for 1-2 NBA games, no practice. How does that process work? I think that the G League teams pretty much run the same offenses that the NBA teams do. I mean, I'm sure the NBA teams run, obviously, some different sets and stuff like that, but the basis of the offenses, I think, are generally the same. And then you also have to remember that when these guys are getting called up from the G League, they're not. It's not like they're getting called up to play, you know, 30 minutes for the Nuggets or something like that. Monte spins. When he gets called up, he's sitting on the bench, and if he goes in, it's going to be in the last couple minutes, and at that point, you're not probably running many set plays anyway. I'll just take that question since
yeah, these are really buttoned up questions.
We've got more. Here's a good one. Michael on Twitter at Palmer for Psy. Does Kristen Williams have any other future commercial acting gigs lined up? Need more on my DVR along with a medical clinic waiting room guy. So what's next on your acting resume?
And so. I did commercials when I was in college. Did you know that?
Yeah, I think you've told me that before.
Yeah. I don't have anything on the docket right now.
Weren't you in plays in high school? In Cardinal Theater with Mr. Ken Bolster?
Yeah, I was. I did that, and then I did some at Iowa State, too, at the Iowa State Theater Department. That whole deal, it was because the Iowa Clinic, and they've been a longtime sponsor of Cyclone Fanatic, and I don't know why, but they asked me to be the guy in their deal, which was a lot of fun. That was a blast that night, though, because it was basically, I mean, if you've ever done it, if you've ever been to a shoot like that, it takes forever to shoot a 15-second commercial. Like, I was there for, like, 4 hours, but it was just me and this group of, like, toddlers sitting around eating pizza together for a really long time. That was so much fun, because I love kids, and usually the kids who, there's two types of kids who are in something like that. One, they're like incredibly bright and fun, and or it's mom's like trying to shove being a actor down their throat and the kid doesn't want to be there and they just cry the whole time. Those kids are pretty happy though.
That's good. I'm glad that we're not having any forced child labor or anything.
You know, Michael, if you want more of me in commercials, just tweet at all these advertisers and tell them. You know, I'd be glad to do it.
Fuzzy's Tacos needs a TV commercial.
Just like me, like
in a taco suit. Ted Flint. Everybody knows Ted. Ted's been a fan favorite on the Cyclone Fanatic forums over the last week and a half. All right, game ends on a game-winning play. As Rob sits down to write his piece, he sees the real live Elvis, who is probably 100, walk by. It's really him. Does Rob write the piece, or does he chase Elvis?
I'm not a huge Elvis fan, so I'd attend to our responsibilities here. And get the piece written. Now, I would also consult with you guys. Would you guys like to write the piece so I can go get this massive scoop that Elvis is indeed alive and he came to the Liberty Bowl? I assume he'd be dressed as Elvis, like good 70s style, with the big lapels, the whatever he's done to his hair, it still looks like Elvis hair. I don't know, Chris, what would you allow me? What would you have? What would you choose for me to do? Since I mean, I'm working Recycling Fanatic. I'm on the clock Recycling Fanatic, but Elvis is in the building.
Here's the angle I'd want to go at with this. If Elvis is still alive, then I have to assume that he's been with the aliens this entire time.
Well, first of all, to answer Rob's question, Rob, you need to go get the scoop on Elvis.
Okay, I'm good with that.
Because if you get that scoop, then you'll tweet it out, and that will only raise Cyclone Fanatic's profile.
Indeed.
Now, I'm a big picture thinker. Everybody watch the bowl game. You know, we don't need something up real fast. We can get you some quotes. And you can write your piece later. You need to go and chase down Elvis.
It's kind of like chasing after Steel Jantz.
Can we have an update on Steel Jantz, please?
The update is I texted a number that is believed to be him, and crickets was the response. He did resurface on Facebook, though, and I magically appeared as one of his friends, which had been approved before he disappeared from Facebook. So I believe we have some other possible liaisons to get in touch with the Man of Steel, and we'll see. But reaching out to him personally has been a fruitless endeavor.
I think for some reason I'm friends with him on Facebook too, because I got intrigued because you were telling me about it, you know. And the last thing I saw of him, it's like he's really embraced the tow truck angle.
Like every six months, there'll be a new picture of him.
It's like him and a wife beater with his tow truck.
Yep. I wonder who's taking the picture.
Hey, Jared, is this where I turn?
No, you're going to keep going straight. It looks like you just merged. So I think you're... Chris is driving, by the way, in case anybody was wondering. Ted has, like, four more questions, but let's not get greedy, Ted. Come on, man. Just, you get one question. Give us your craziest 2018 sports prediction, Iowa State or otherwise. Mine, okay, let me think here.
I'll give you mine.
All right, go ahead, yeah.
It's just how painful the Vikings exit from the playoffs will be.
Is that really a crazy?
Why is that crazy?
Yeah.
I'll give you a crazy one.
All right, let's hear it.
The Vikings finally win a Super Bowl.
Oh, screw you.
It's going to happen.
That's not going to happen.
It is. They're a complete team.
Fake
news. Offensive line gets healthy. You know, I like it. It's a different feel than some of those other years, man. Those failed NFC Championship trips with the...
Yeah,
like flabbergasting.
Like that year that we went 15-1. Way different food.
Hey, look, the Giants won after going 9-7 once. Why can't the Vikings, and they're going to be a hell of a lot better than 9-7. Vikings' time is going to come. I'm a Cubs fan, man. Their time finally came after 108 years or whatever. Vikings' time. First Super Bowl since, what, 77? All four Super Bowls in that, from the beginning of the league to 77, or was it 78? I can't remember what they got trounced by the Raiders. It's time to get back. It's time to win the thing. That's a shocking pick.
I told my dad after we traded Moss, because I kind of felt like I was just depleted. I'll never forget, we're sitting at the Clarinda Bowling Alley talking about this. And I'm like, man, because the races, we got rained out at Adams County that night. We went to the bowling alley to hang out. And I was like,
good old Dave Nowkowski.
Yeah, shout out to him. I go, Dad, we just missed our chance. Like, the whole, like Moss is like a once-in-a-generation player. If we couldn't figure out a way to win it with some of those offenses, like, it just...
And defenses.
Yeah, I mean, just great, you know, and like... Denny Green, like the just consistency that he brought to the table. Like I said, Dad, if we could figure, they will never win a Super Bowl in my lifetime. And I mean, it's such a piss poor organization for so long. And I think it's a lot better now. Spielman's a hell of a GM. I think Zimmer's the best coach I've ever seen in Minnesota.
Bud Grant's.
Well, see, that's not my era though. Yep. But I can't argue that. But all that said, like it just. Some people are born meant to experience happiness and meant to be winners. I'm not one of those people. I'm a Vikings fan. I'm a Cyclone. You know, even like my Braves that I just adopted because they were good when I was a kid and they were on TBS all the time. Like they won one World Series after winning how many division titles? I am a loser. And my teams cannot experience happiness. They will not win the Super Bowl this year. They won't even make the Super Bowl this year. Kai Forbath is going to miss like four kicks in a game to keep them out of it.
So what's your shocking pick for the year then? That's not shocking to most
people. I thought of mine.
Okay, Jared, go.
The Houston Rockets will come within a possession of knocking the Golden State Warriors out of the playoffs in the NBA. The
Rockets are looking tough.
Okay, so they're going to come within a game, you said?
Come within a possession. It'll come down to a final possession between the Warriors and the Rockets.
No, that won't happen.
The Rockets have the best record in the league right now, correct?
Chris, I can't wait for you to give your opinion so I can just say, no, that's a stupid prediction.
It's going to be something Bundesliga or something.
Let me think here.
Should I just go on to the next question?
No.
Okay.
I'll stick with the NBA. That the I still think that the Thunder, like if they were like what are they going to be, like a 7 or 8 in the playoffs? Probably.
They should be better than that. They've been playing pretty well lately.
Yeah. Okay. So they're, I think that's a team that could really mess with the Warriors if they get into. Maybe, like, they're the 4-5 and they get the Warriors. I really do. I don't think they'll beat them, but that would be my NBA deal. That's a team that could really mess with them because those guys are – they're so cocky, and they will absolutely go out and try and physically beat the crap out of the Warriors, and that's what the Warriors don't like.
The only problem the Thunder have, though, is they only have three people who can score.
Well, maybe they make a move. I don't know what their assets are like, but –
yeah, I mean, maybe. I don't know.
They feel like
I was big on the Thunder earlier in the season, and then I don't know.
Here's my prediction for 2018. A graduate transfer quarterback will be Iowa State's starter in game one.
I don't think that's very crazy either.
Well, it's not the same as saying the Vikings are going to yet again fail in the postseason. I mean, that's a
I'll allow it.
Can I blow off some steam? Like, so I did a daily CF minute like a week and a half ago on like the reasons why I thought Iowa State should add a grad transfer, and I got killed. Did you read the responses to it? Oh, no, Zeb's our guy. Zeb's our man. Like, I got killed.
I mean, yeah. Was this on Facebook or Twitter?
This is on Facebook.
Oh, of course it was on Facebook.
And then we report, like, 2 days later. Maybe I knew something when I was flirting out there a couple days ago. We report 2 days later that this kid from Washington's on campus. Go ahead and get him, coach. Sign him up, coach. Do your thing. Yeah, we need depth. We need depth for Zeb.
This is Facebook. Remember that.
It just drives me nuts, though.
Here's the thing. That's not saying anything against Zeb or the outer limit idea that maybe Kyle Kemp gets another year, which I know is highly unlikely. I mean, he's going to be a sophomore. If you can get an experienced guy at the reins, you know, pulling the controls, we know how much they like to manage. You know, they like guys to play within themselves. I mean, if you find the right fit that way, you go ahead and go for it. I mean, the question is, do you tell the guy, hey, it's your job, or do you say, hey, you're coming here to compete? You know, and are you able to sell a grad transfer that way? But you never say no to that type of depth and that possibility to add a quality player. It's usually a former four-star guy that you'd be going after there, especially at the marquee position.
From Austin Fabian, how many football wins are we expecting next year? Chris, go ahead. Go first.
I've put the over-under right now at 7.5.
That's kind of what I was thinking, too. Where it was like this year was the range you were expecting was like in 5 to 7. I would say you could bump it from like 7 to 9 next year.
Yeah, I can't argue that at all. Because I think let's run through the non-con real quick. It's South Dakota State, Iowa, and I believe Akron at home.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a really quality FCS team. We don't know what we're going to get almost any year from Iowa, but we've gotten their best shot the last couple years in terms of the Cy-Hawk game. I mean, over-under is one thing. I kind of think that that they ought to look at 8 wins as being, we ought to have this. They should have 9 this year.
I would play the over because there's some – we were kind of talking about the Vikings where it doesn't feel like a fluke, and I completely agree with you. My self-deprecating humor aside, but this Iowa State team, like, you look at next year, I mean, is it, am I crazy to think that the maybe the best position on the field could be the defensive line?
I would agree. Yeah.
I mean, especially
other than running back.
Developing
running back's the best.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, just to even say that about the D line is as few and far. But we had some standout guys there in the Rhodes years, but very rarely a standout group. And when you got behind the one guy or two guys that were really good, you had some guys who weren't really capable of playing at the Big 12 level. Now I think they're building that depth at that spot. Not only do you have really good frontline guys, but the guys backing them up are pretty darn good too.
Yeah, so I guess my overall point is, like, I think we saw it with this year too with Iowa State, where they played three quarterbacks and, like Rob said, should have won 8 or 9 games. I hate using the word culture because it's totally overused and half the time people don't even know what they're talking about with it. But there is, like, a system in place now. And I think Iowa State's offensive line will be – I think it'll be a lot better next year. I know a lot of people disagree with that. But there's just more bodies now that are ready to be plugged in. And because it's more of an inside-out built team, I mean, then you add, like, your Hakeem Butlers and your David Montgomerys and some standouts like Brian Peavy on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, think about that, though. Like, Peavy and DeAndre Payne as your corners again next year.
Make it a lot easier for two young safeties coming in.
Yeah. And I know that Campbell has said he really likes the safeties they have in the room and coming in. So, yeah, just a deep team. I mean, who saw this coming? I mean, I know Vegas, what was one of the lines?
Five and a half.
So they saw the potential for this, the low-end type of this season happening. When you look at how this season wound down, the Kansas State debacle aside, that's an eighth win that was kind of taken from them with the picked up flag, particularly at the end. But gosh, you're Marching Murdoch's pinning the ball in Oklahoma State game, you might be tied up. The park deer in the headlights, or whatever you want to call it, game against Texas, defense played well enough to win that game. So many games. I mean, there is not a single game that they were remotely out of, which is saying something.
Really, you could go back for 2 years though. When's the last time they got killed? Was that Iowa last year? West Virginia, they got
away from them. Pretty bad in that game. But, yeah, I'd say that. But, I mean, not in the same sense as that Iowa game 2 years ago. That was a real beatdown. That team's looked worlds apart. But you're right. I mean, even last year, what happened is it was all close losses versus this year. Some of the close games are losses versus all of them.
I do think, though, I think it's going to be harder to get over that hump and get to 8 games than most people just think. I would take the over at 7.5. However, you know, Iowa State's not going to be exponentially more talented next year.
Yeah.
It's more you have, like, you're more seasoned and more experienced and you have another year to, like, build that culture and whatnot. But here's the deal, Rob. You can attest to this probably better than anybody here. We've kind of been in this spot before with Iowa State where it's like, okay, we saw with the Rhodes era in the 2012 season where it's just like, okay, you consistently got into a couple bowl games now. You know, that Nebraska game was a 2-point conversion away from going to 3 bowl games in 3 years under Paul Rhodes. And it's like, now can this program with a lack of tradition get over the hump? And that's always harder to do than what fan bases expect. So it just seems more believable this time based off of how the team is built. That's how I would analyze it.
I'd agree. And I think it goes back to that depth we talked about. I mean, they've got many good guys at the position groups instead of even those road years. I mean, how much better would they have been the last year they made a bowl? Jake Knott doesn't get hurt. Other guys, I mean, you lose a key guy and you feel like, oh, man, that's it, right? They go into that bowl game. And I know they had a decent start, but then just absolutely nothing after that against Tulsa in 2012. I mean, so, yeah, David Montgomery had to sit out a bunch of the Kansas State game, and Sheldon Crony did some good things. The offense adapted. Did they score a ton of points? Obviously not. But they played well enough to win the football game, and That's what these guys seem to be able to do. Even when they take some massive hits, like a starting quarterback who's anointed as your next great quarterback, taking a leave from the team and then going who knows where in the near future.
All right, you're listening to the Cyclone Fanatic Road Trip Mailbag Podcast presented by Heartland Flags. From Joe Brandt, most pointless holiday argument that you have been a part of and or witnessed. I feel like, Rob, this is right up your alley right here.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was looking at a text here. Could you repeat it real quick?
Yeah, yeah.
What? Come on, man. Hey, can you pay attention,
sorry,
please?
Sorry, I got a text from Iowa State Sports Information Director Mike Green. He's helping us with our coverage, the bowl game. So just, you know, just everybody calm down.
All right, just real quick.
Okay. Most pointless holiday argument that you have been a part of and or witnessed?
I'd say if there's going to be first of all, I think if you're going to argue politics with someone and it's obvious that you guys come...
Of course, Rob jumps right to politics.
Completely opposite sides of the spectrum and you don't know each other. That's a fruitless argument, and science has even shown that people tend to dig in their heels even more, even if you lay something out that it has citations and it clearly some factual basis. It's like no. It's like the plug in your ears type of thing. The other one that always gets me, and it could be holidays or any time of year, is when people argue about their conference's strength, about their favorite team. Like, if you're a fan of the Cyclones or the Sooners, Sooners you don't do that, but say the Cyclones, you start repping all the Big 12 like crazy, and then, oh, it's this, and then people get into it about the bowl records. It's like, oh, the Big 10 didn't better in bowls. It's matchups and all that stuff. That to me, is always a pointless argument, which conference is better, because it doesn't mean anything.
You know who loves to have that argument? Talking heads on the radio from 4 to 6 on drive time afternoons.
Now that is fake news, because I'm the biggest anti, like, I'm so with Rob on this, and I've been very consistent on that for years, because it's all about matchups, and the bowl games especially, it's all about motivation. Like, who in the hell wants to be there? I mean, that drives me nuts. There's certain times where you can take it. I mean, like, I think you can absolutely converse about it, but I don't necessarily think it means anything either.
What did it say about the Big Ten when a 5-7 Nebraska team got in and won their bowl game? You know, I don't think it said anything about the Big Ten. No, I didn't mean to.
That's a recent positive memory,
actually, about the Huskers.
I once, this weekend, at one of my family Christmases, I saw an argument happen between two relatives. I'm not going to get into specifics. But one relative was badgering the other relative because he hadn't gotten a colonoscopy. And that relative got pissed off, got up from the table, and said, "It's a blank and free country. I don't have to if I don't want to." So we were fighting about colonoscopies at the Williams house.
You're always chilling out for the Iowa Clinic, aren't you?
If if this relative lived in the Des Moines metro, you could just go to the Iowa Clinic Men's Center, and I got my colonoscopy from Dr. Larson there at the Iowa Clinic Men's Center, and it was a fantastic experience. I mean, it was not hard at all.
If the Hawkeyes and Cyclones could have made a player trade this year, which trade have benefited both teams the most? I don't know if it's basketball or football. I'm going to guess basketball, though.
I figured he was talking football.
Okay, well, we can do either one. If you have a good trade for basketball or if you have a good trade for football, what do you think for football?
I would say
for Iowa, I mean, I don't know what about trade. I mean, I would think they would take someone like Lazard or Hakeem Butler.
Yeah, that's, I mean, if I'm Iowa, that's what I would want too. You definitely want Lazard. I'd probably take Josie Jewell off their hands.
Yeah.
If you have him and Lanning.
And Marcel Spears.
Yeah, and Willie.
Yeah.
I mean, the amount of things you could do in that 3-4 with those guys would be awesome.
You just got the last Paul Rhodes staff real excited with the 3-4 talk.
What about What about one of those Hawkeye defensive linemen, though? I've always wanted to beef up my D-line.
Yeah, maybe one of the, I don't know, Verdell Trent was good this year.
Or would we want like Iowa's best offensive lineman?
Yeah, I would say maybe like
Sean Welsh.
I mean, I would never say no if, you know, Tristan Wirfs wanted to come and play for the Cyclones.
Yeah, that's what I mean, like,
five-star freshman.
Just think if you could beef up the line in front of David Montgomery a little bit.
Yeah, I'd say that.
I mean, Chase Allen was a really good blocker, but Pham was such a big play guy for them as a tight end.
I mean, can we call a spade, though? How in the hell was Chase Allen all Big 12?
Because he's a good blocker.
Oh, come on.
That's the only plausible explanation, though.
He
didn't put up many stats.
Yeah, I was told, though, that, like, the person I asked about it, they're like, yeah, he's a good blocker. It surprised me, too. However, think about it this way. There's really not that many tight ends in the Big 12.
Yeah. It's not really a tight ends conference.
Chris dumping on Chase Allen.
No, I love Chase Allen, and I love his dad. I would guess that they were even surprised by that.
Yeah. Kid gets hit by a car,
he's a badass,
incredibly ill, and then he gets pooped on by Chris Williams on the Cyclone Fanatic Road Trip Mailbag podcast.
Chase is my guy. I wrote a piece about him when he signed that I mean it. Like, I'm so excited. He's another reason to be really bullish on next year, I think, because now you can work him in even more, and you have less at wide receiver, even though the receivers are still going to be good. Yeah. I just, like, when I saw that, I couldn't believe it.
I think it's fair to say that was surprising to everyone to see that. And it's a good surprise. It's nice to be pleasantly surprised.
I'm not even saying it's wrong. I just was, shocked by it.
Yeah. I'll never forget the first time that, when Chase announced his decision to sign with Iowa State, you wanted me to interview him, and you gave me the wrong phone number 3 times before I finally got the right one. And I called him and actually got to talk to him.
Well, I can assure you that was not my fault.
That's the way it works sometimes.
Welcome to recruiting.
Landmines.
List.
You don't even know how covering recruiting used to be. You guys have it easy now. Like,
kids don't want to talk now, though.
I remember back in when I started doing this in 2004. I mean, my boss, like, I had to call like 6 kids a day.
Like, but did they answer?
And not always, but if not, you called their coach, or you called their mom and dad, or you. That was when I worked for Scout.
Well, those were your avenues, pretty much. You didn't have a direct number to the kid much of the time, right?
Yeah, no, you're calling their landline. You're calling their house. You're calling their school and asking for them. Like, it was a totally different world than it is now, where these kids are all, like, tweeting their own news, and, like, it's just a... it's a cesspool out there.
What's a landline?
You got it with your cable TV.
I actually have a landline in my apartment. The guy came to set it up, and he said, "Hey, do you have a phone?" I was like, "Yeah, I don't need it. I just wanted it because it made my cable cheaper." I don't even have a phone. Yeah, he's like, "Well, if you get a phone, you can plug it in here." I said, "No, probably not going to get a phone."
Hey, shout out to Keokuk.
Yeah,
Keokuk. We're getting pretty close. 0.9 miles. Oh, okay, it looks like you're just going to keep going south. Never mind.
My old pastor moved to Keokuk.
Well, there you go. There's a fun fact for you.
Banks of the Mississippi.
You're just going
to
keep...
I think the water moccasins make it all the way up to the Mississippi.
I bet he's doing some sweet baptisms there.
Indeed.
List 2018-19 ISU men's basketball players by importance and tiers.
Oh my God.
This is a lot of thinking. All right, he's already got tier one for us, so Wigginton, Shayok, Babb, and Lard is who he has in tier one. You're just going to keep going south here, by the way. Tier two, Terrence Lewis.
Yeah.
Taran Talley.
Solomon.
What about Horton Tucker? I think Zion Griffin's going to be coming and be better than Talley on day one.
You see Taylen Horton Tucker's dunk that he had down in Florida? Yeah.
I mean, I really think that you could make an argument that he'll come in and be more valuable.
I can see it.
Maybe even Solomon. Solomon clearly is good, and like he's done a lot, and I think he's going to be a really great 4-year player. But, I mean, Lard from day one was better than him.
Where's Mike Jacobson fit in that, too? Mm. He's got to be up there.
So I didn't have very high expectations for him just because of... But Prome loves him.
Yeah.
Like, Prome loves him.
He seemed really surprised the last, like, one of the times I talked about to him about him, by how skilled he is.
Well...
He didn't get a chance to show it in the 10 miles offense.
I'll tell you what, Shayok is the best player on the roster right now.
There's a reason that he's an all-time leading scorer in Cap City history.
Yeah, he... And he's talking about not being able to do something in an offense, though. You go from Tony Bennett to Steve Prome.
Yeah.
Is that part of his defensive skills, too, though? Because he home knows. Because, I mean, I think Lindell Wigginton could very well be the most talented all-around player if he settles into the becomes an elite defender. I mean, he flashes signs of that.
I think if Shayok were playing this year, like, there would be zero doubt about Iowa State in the NCAA tournament.
Oh,
it would be another, like, 6-seed, 5-seed type year.
Yeah, yep. I agree with that.
Yep.
All right, I don't... Sorry to leave.
I think there are a lot of guys straddling tier one, tier two.
I really think that the tweeter is underestimating Talen and Griffin.
I think he's also overestimating our ability to do research and, like, put together legitimate conversation while we're in the car.
No, yes, yeah. Good. And I like his tier that he put together as well.
I got a love-hate relationship with Lard right now. Because I absolutely am in love with watching him play. I just, like, still, like, he still lacks consistency enough for me to, like, trust him. I totally understand why Prome doesn't start him.
How many double-doubles does he have to put up before you think he's consistent?
Well, I know, but then, like, you know, and then you have the Iowa game, though, where you put him in and he picks up two fouls in 40 seconds. It's like, I just need to see. I mean, the guy, this is my only deal with him. He's as talented of a freshman big man as I've maybe ever seen there in my time.
He's good.
I mean, clearly there's your Pfizers, and we're not going to get into that comparison. But there's a reason why he couldn't play last year. There's a reason why he suspended two games to start this year. Like, it's only been 2 months. Like, I just want him to be consistent. That's because if he does that, and if he's consistent with how he lives and play, like, he's going to be an all-time great here. But he's got to be consistent. And I still am just not... I'm a little skeptical still. Is that okay?
I compare young big men to... They're like puppies. And they've got those big feet. And they got to grow into them. And they're clumsy. And you just got... And, you know, maybe they'll knock some things over sometimes. They don't quite have control of their tail. They just get a little excited. I think that that's what... Where Cameron Lard's still at. He's still a little puppy, you know? He comes in, he gets some early fouls, he can get a little overexcited sometimes, and it happens.
And Solomon's the opposite.
Yeah.
Solomon's rock solid. Like, you know what you're going to get from him every day. He may miss some shots, and some days they'll be... You know exactly what you're going to get from him every day.
He has the, like, the steady hand of being a veteran, but he doesn't have, like, the skill of being, like, an exciting young pup,
that's
you know?
That's a great point. That's a great point. And to answer the inevitable when's the starting lineup going to change question, I would start Brace over Lard.
I would agree with that. But I'm going to miss Jeff Beverly's 15-footers.
So my nephew Nolan is a big Cyclone basketball fan, and we're talking. So it was fun, actually. This was 23rd. We're watching football or whatever, and he's quizzing me about Michael Jordan. He never saw Michael Jordan play, and I was telling him all these great Michael Jordan stories and stuff. He goes,
he didn't push off, by the way.
He goes, what's Beverly's first name? And I was like, I thought he was talking about Christmas Vacation. I'm like, Aunt Beverly? You know what that is?
Yeah.
I honestly didn't know what he was talking about. He goes, no, the Cyclone, Beverly. Oh, I go, Jeff? He goes, yeah. That's my favorite player.
Hey, nice.
So Beverly getting some love from my little nephew Nolan. It's his favorite player on the team. That's awesome.
You know what? I bet that he watched a game with your dad or something. And your dad, he's an old-fashioned guy, you know? Like, I feel like when he watched basketball, he likes the 15-footer.
My dad,
it's a good, respectful shot, you know?
Well, my dad has a keen sense of trying to pick up people when they're down.
Yeah.
And my guess is, this is my guess, that my dad has seen Jeff Beverly gets some heat from the fans. And my dad is probably, in his mind, taking Beverly under his wing to really be positive with him.
Yeah.
That's why my dad loved Matt Thomas. Because he, you remember when people just crapped all over Matt Thomas when he was a freshman? Mm-hmm. And my dad's like, man, kid, you just gotta, kid just needs some support, man. Like, if, now I'm talking like prom. You just gotta support him. He needs some support. And I, my guess is that Nolan has watched enough games with dad where dad's probably a Beverly guy because he feels like, you know, Jeff just needs a little support and he's gonna come out and make some shots for us, which he did against Northern Iowa.
Good for him. Jeff, you'll get there.
Yeah.
Get there. Good play.
Jeff
Keep
Beverly.
Playing hard.
Everybody.
Southwest Iowans respect the mid-range jumper. Everybody knows that. If each of you could have one Cyclone sports team win one more game in a season at some point, which one would it be and why? Regular season, bowl game, Big 12 tourney, NCAA tourney, anything. This is from a friend of the program, Jake Voss. For me, dude, I would say that Sweet 16 when we went to Chicago, because then they would have been playing Syracuse to go to the Final Four.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. That's immediately where my mind went, was the couple of those Fred teams in the – or you're talking prom, but I was thinking like
– or even the one when they lost Ohio State would have been playing Wichita State.
How about the Yanks' broken foot? I mean, that's the one that Fred said felt they were the best team in the country. And you get past UConn in that game.
So wait, does George not break his foot then, or does
he? No, that's the tough thing.
No, so I was gonna actually say the UAB game.
Yeah, that's another
one. Yeah, because they're healthy. Yeah.
Well, and I think that might have been the best Fred team.
That team had so much talent. And Naz, okay, so let's.
My whole deal is like, you get past that game, like, who knows where you go?
Yeah. Once Naz checks into an NBA game, there will have been Naz, George, Nader, Monte, and Bryce John Jones. Will have all played in the NBA off that team.
Yeah.
Five players, and Iowa State's had 26 NBA players in program history.
So I would probably, I'd probably go with the UAB game because that's like the one, like, bad taste in your mouth.
Yeah.
From the last, like, however many years of Cyclone basketball. Now, I would go here. You have to go 2000 in the Elite Eight.
I was going
to
say 2000 in the Elite Eight's the other one.
If you win that, like, you're probably going to win the national title.
Yep, right.
And then my mind goes to the 2005 football season as well, where they were like they were in 2004, a game away from playing for a Big 12 championship under Mack. And that game, that year was just a bunch of
missed
opportunities. But I would probably say if we can close out that Kansas game in 2005, I'd have loved to have seen Brett Meyer and Todd Blythe and that team just get a shot at playing for a Big 12 championship, because that team with Berryman, Curvey, with that defensive line, that secondary, that team was actually capable of jumping up and beating somebody they weren't supposed to. I think they would have played Vince Young in Texas.
I was just going to say, didn't Colorado lose like 70-3?
Yeah, it was awful.
Yeah.
But again, though, like, it's cool to play for a championship, and I just would have liked to have seen those guys, because that was a good team. Before that, I think that team and this year's team would be a hell of a game. I almost think that team is more talented.
Teams. Yeah. I'm going the 2000 football team, because you're going to get double-digit wins. What bowl game do they play in if they've got an extra win heading into that? I mean, it depends on where it falls, right? You win another one of those. The tough thing about 2000 was when they did lose those three games, they got beat pretty bad, I think. If you reverse one of those and you've got a nice double-digit win season on your in your football record book media guide, I think that's arguably in contention as well.
Can I give an honorable mention to this year beating Iowa?
Sure.
Not letting that game go. And rivalry aside, reason I even go there is just the amount of recruiting momentum Campbell would have. Like, because really that's the one thing knock on him right now is he hasn't beaten Iowa. And they're recruiting so many Midwestern teams, like, where Kirk Ferentz is just, worshipped in many of these smaller towns. And rightfully so. Kirk's been there forever, and he's done a great job in the high school ranks here. I feel like recruiting-wise, just having that win could have – having that win, winning eight games, really could have bolstered this offseason even more. Having said that, if I could do anything and you can't take 2,000, I would go with that UAB game.
This has nothing to do with our conversation, but I thought of it while you guys were talking. For Christmas, I got a signed football. It has signatures of Dan McCarney, Frank Solich, Gary Barnett, it was Les Miles. It has like all the Big 12 coaches from like 2003 or 2002. Mark Mangino, Guy Morris, Bob Stoops, Bill Snyder, Gary Barnett. Yeah, all of them. It's phenomenal.
Is it the new chew toy for Lolo?
No, it will not be chewed upon.
That's sweet, man. That's retro.
Yeah. I actually saw it on eBay one day when I was trolling Cyclone eBay.
Put it on your wish list and...
I told my mom about it, and then she got it for me. It's awesome.
It's a great mom.
All right, Keegan asks, I'm actually going to amend this question a little bit. Who logs the most NBA minutes in their career, Nader, Monte, Naz, or George?
Nader.
I'd probably agree. I think Monte will be a close second, though.
I'm thinking Monte. I think just longevity-wise, he might have a really nice long career if he can catch on and just be a solid bench guy, a backup guy most of the time.
Yeah.
I just think, I mean, how many times, just think how that guy stayed healthy. I know sometimes you think luck runs out and all that type of stuff. But Nader's ascension, I mean, I think the smart money's there, but something, maybe a little bit of my heart says Monte, too. Just because of just how pure a point guard he is. And again, just durable, smart, the type of guy I think that could stick around well into his, you know, mid-30s even.
I just feel like Nader, though, I'll just devil's advocate, you make great points. Nader, I think we think often, like the Nader we saw at Iowa State, totally different guy now. Yeah. He's ascended so much where... I mean, he's really kind of the perfect backup three.
Yeah.
Where I just feel like he's going to be, because he can rebound, he can shoot the three, he can put it on the floor, he can play defense. Where Monte is kind of really a little one trick, a little bit of a one trick.
He can be a point guard.
You know what I mean?
It can be like what he offers teams, what every NBA team wants.
Versatility.
What Matt Campbell calls positional. You know,
flexibility,
or use a multiple, you know, that kind of stuff.
That's the reason I would go with him. But I mean, you make valid points on Monte. Jared, you're the NBA.
Yeah, here's how I would guess that most of these guys' career is going to go. I kind of like what you said. I think Nader probably will be kind of in the role that he's in right now at the Celtics, where he's like a 12th or like a 10th, 11th, 12th man, as long as he's in Boston. But I feel like he'll eventually end up on a team where he can be like a, you know, a spot starter, a role player off the bench. Monte, I think eventually we'll get to a point where he can be a rotational backup point guard. And then I think George eventually is going to end up in Europe making a boatload of money. But Naz is like the wild card to me.
Yeah.
If that dude can shoot, then he will stick somewhere. I don't know where, but he could spend some time in the league for a while.
Do you think Matt Thomas could ever work himself back into the NBA?
I do.
Watching him in the summer league, I'm like, this guy could play at this level.
Anybody that's watched the Lakers over the last couple weeks, Alex Caruso has been in their rotation for. I mean, he played a lot last night. He was getting made fun of by Chuck and Ernie and all those guys. They kept saying that he was little Ernie because he looks like Ernie Johnson, but. I definitely think that Matt Thomas can get back to the NBA and play a little bit.
He's also getting considerably better by playing top-level European basketball.
Right. Yeah, that Spanish league is one of the best in the world.
Adding to his game, he's going to improve it so much. So
right.
When he does put himself in a position to make money in the States after that stint, I mean, he's just going to be so, that much better.
Does Wigginton play more minutes than all of them?
Yeah.
I think so, too.
I think there's... probably a couple guys on this team that could end up playing more pro minutes than all of them.
On this specific team right now?
Yeah.
Bab?
I'd say Bab, and then I would say Lard could do it too, eventually.
Yeah, and
I think even Terrence Lewis could be in that conversation.
You love Terrence Lewis.
I'm just saying, I mean, his ability to shoot the three, yep. He's long.
Yep.
He's going to keep growing into his body.
Yeah, no, I think it's all fair. I mean, we'll see.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what's fun about right now is because you're just kind of watching all, and we've just seen like the teeny little tip of what these guys can be.
Yeah.
And that's, it's really cool because we haven't seen this. We haven't done this for a while.
All right, last question. What I have decided is the best one. And it, I like to make Fitzy wait until the very end of the podcast listen to get his question. But your vehicle breaks down in the bad part of Memphis, and your muggers say the only way they're going to let you guys go is if Chris watches all of the Star Wars movies, Jared never listens to rap music ever again, or Rob becomes a Republican. Who takes one for the team?
I'd take one for the team.
They're good movies, most of them.
Well,
I think we all would take one for the team. Well, I don't know. It would be tough for you to give up rap music.
I'm not like anti-Star Wars. I've just never seen them.
Yeah.
And from what I've seen of them, I don't think it's not really my thing. And it's more like now, it's kind of this whole like me not watching Star Wars thing is kind of taking on a life of its own. It was never me being like, oh, these are dorky. I watched the WWE, okay? So like, I have no reason to make fun of anybody who watches Star Wars. It's just like, it's not, I don't think I'll like it.
It's now part of your identity too, that you're anti-Star Wars. You know, it's part of your persona.
You're not really anti-Star Wars, are you?
Yeah, just no, your... I'm more anti-Tommy Burch.
And, that's fair.
And that's kind of, that pushed it like that, oh, Williams hates Star Wars. No, I don't. Like, I've never seen it. So I would do that. Rob becoming a member of the Republican Party would just be bad for the world. And Jared,
I do it though because politicians change stripes all the time. It does not stipulate that I could become one day and change the next day. You know what I mean?
So you flip flop.
Well, not many people have.
Well, let's just do that then.
Yeah, I mean, it would be so quick.
Well, it saved me like 10 hours from having to watch.
Hours. Yeah. You could skip the CGI ones.
Oh, it's at least 10 hours. It's probably almost 20.
I'm going to tell you though, you would have appreciated Star Wars a lot more if you were like my age. Because it comes out, the first one comes out when I'm 8 years old. You know, that's past, you know, for you. And, you know, you're not at that age looking forward to this thing that is super hyped and you didn't have many other distractions around you. It's like, you just got to get to the theater and watch this.
Now that we've had Rob's back in my day moment.
So, real quick, just my neighbor Chris
and
I.
So the good old days.
We have a little bit of a tradition where we get together and have some, like, holiday brew with Santa Claus on Christmas Eve, like, late. We've done it for a while now. You know, after all the, you know, while we're waiting on the big man to get to town. And when we'll watch, like, a funny movie or something. We watched Old School.
Phenomenal movie.
That movie is so freaking funny.
Yeah.
Like, I forgot, like, how many, like, tiny little lines. Like Will Ferrell when he's got the pantyhose over his face and he mugs the lady who's at the grocery store and steals her husband. Tell anybody about this, I'll kill you. No, I'm just kidding. We'll have him back by 6 or 7. Like, God, there's so many funny lines in that movie.
When he's streaking and he gets in the car, he's like, hey, honey, is KFC still open?
Yeah. I forgot how much I love that movie. Sorry, that was wild.
I haven't watched it for a long time either, but I loved it too. Have to pull that one.
Maybe
out.
We can stream that from our Airbnb home here in Memphis.
That's not a bad idea at all.
That would be a phenomenal idea. I couldn't give up rap music because that would mean I could never listen to Rough Riders Anthem ever again.
No, that would be a bad situation for everybody. That's why I'm saying it's got to be me or Rob because Rob could just flip-flop.
Yeah.
And if whatever, if I have to sit and watch these movies, then it's not the end of the world. I'm not going to kick and scream on my way out.
All right, guys. Thanks for everybody that submitted questions.
Preview of the week.
Oh, okay. It was preview of the week.
So we just got notice that, Rob, you will be able to join the boys at the Civil Rights Museum tomorrow.
Yep. Yep. Just unobtrusively, not bothering them.
You can't badger them while they're there.
Yes.
But that'll be cool because you're real into that. Like, that, you wanted to go to the museum yourself.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So Rob's going to do some, like, fun little features like that. Jared and I, we'll cover the team, obviously, but we're going to try and do a lot of, like, multimedia, social media stuff. And I also wanted to remind anybody, to tell anybody, if you are coming down to Memphis at 4 on Thursday, we're doing a special Cyclone Radio Network show from Silky O'Sullivan's. It's basically like a meet and greet for you guys, though. So it's going to be Walters, Heft, me, Bruns, Bloom, I believe, at Silky O'Sullivan's. I think they're going to have some drink deals, and it's basically just a hangout. But that'll be live on KXNO from 4 to 5, and I believe some other affiliates. And then Jared, as we talked earlier, we're putting together a game watch for Friday night. You know, it's been difficult because Beale Street's going to be so insane that night. Like, to find, like, all these bars are going to be packed with Cyclone fans, and I'm assuming most of them will have the game on anyways. But we are trying to find a spot that, like, where basketball will be the focus and not, you know, like, live music or anything like that. So just give me another 12 to 24 hours, and we'll have that. I think that's all I've got. Am I missing anything?
I can't think of anything.
Yeah.
We will see everybody down in Memphis. I hope this helped take away a little bit of your time during your travels. Thanks again to Heartland Flags. You can click on the banner ad at the top of the Cyclone Fanatic homepage, heartlandflags.com. All your Cyclone flags, all your NFL playoff flag needs, or NBA, or NASCAR, or what else they got, everything.
Well, I would encourage people not to go and buy it for anybody else, but use that Christmas money that you got on a flag. Boom!
Absolutely.
There you go. Thanks for tuning in, everybody, and we'll talk to you soon.